This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Jeremy with three hits. Also hit the ball hard last time and fly it out to deep center. And this one will end the game. Trevor Story. And that's the end of tonight's story. 14-1, all Red Sox. Astros get a run home in the bottom of the ninth.
And for us today, man, it's tough putting Brevin on IR. We know he went down with a devastating injury. It's really rough for a guy who just bounced back from a major injury. So it's tough on Brevin right now, tough on our entire team. But, you know, that happens. That's the game that we play. It happens. Injuries happen. We have to continue to press forward while also being here to support Brev in any way that he needs us.
Hi, there you go. That was, I guess overall, as we bump in with those two bits of audio to the show, sorry, everybody who got up at 6:01. Usually I like to reward the people who are up with us really early like this. If you're an early riser, you know, it's a different lifestyle. You got to get up at 4 in the morning to be at work at 6 or whatever, you know. And I normally would love to be giving out candy and cookies and good news. But bumping in with the final call on a 14-1 massacre. Ugh. And then bumping in with D'Amico Ryans sharing the confirmation, Seth, that Brevin Jordan is going to be out for the year. It's like I just gave everybody a bowl of gruel for breakfast. I'm really sorry, everybody. That should have been kolaches and candy and cookies and sunshine and rainbows, and it was not. How are you this morning, my friend?
It's gruel. I guess it's a gruel. Like, we're not as rich a family as we once were when it comes to sports. Yeah. You know, it's been a little while since the Astros have won a World Series.
Yeah,
feels like forever. I don't know how we've gone. How we've come this
two
far?
Two full seasons. It's excruciating.
Sometimes if you're accustomed to eating nothing but gruel, it's fine if you get more gruel.
Mm-hmm.
But we're an upper middle class sports city right now.
Yeah,
we've got playoff teams in all three of the major sports,
yep.
And this feels like a little bit of gruel after we've grown accustomed to, at the very least, an Egg McMuffin for breakfast.
right. No, it can all change in one day. You know, we get one good walkthrough today with the Texans, and we get a win tonight at Daikin Park. It can all change. But, yeah, yesterday, not great. Not great.
I think the big thing, obviously, with the Astros, man, things are going to happen. Arrighetti, as he said, it felt like he took a step forward and a step back. In some respects, the box score was better. He allows two runs in five innings. Didn't have the bad luck that he had last time. But he walks a bunch of guys and just, you know, but at the very least, okay, he's still back on the upswing. Then the bullpen goes and allows 10 runs in the next three innings.
Yeah.
Chaz McCormick ends up closing the game out for you. That's the running on fumes moment when you get to the point where Chaz gets his first major league appearance.
And that's how you knew that game was just a complete washout. Well, you knew by the final score, obviously, but that's how you know that a major league baseball game is just, okay, well, this thing is definitely over. Everybody's just laughing about it. Like, literally the players are laughing about it. Chaz is laughing about it. Like, part of me is like, this isn't funny. You just got the Mariners won earlier today. You're about to be tied for first. You were up by seven games 2 weeks ago. What's going on, man?
The fans who were still in attendance when the Astros did finally score a run in the ninth inning, they went nuts.
Yeah, it went crazy.
And that was kind of cool, yeah. I suppose. I don't know if, Sean, I don't know if you were like me and you stayed up just waiting to see if the inevitable comeback would arrive for the Astros. Or if you happened to actually see the highlights of the ninth inning at the end, early this morning. Yeah, kudos to the fans there who managed to find something to get excited about when the Astros finally scored.
I was up live for it, but not purposefully. You know what I mean? Not like, oh, I can't wait to see Chaz pitch, but I did see it live.
You're up in that you needed some noise in the background.
Yeah, kind of. Like the prelude to watching Family Feud before I go to bed, that kind of thing. So, we awake this morning, and the Astros are tied for first place. It's as if the first 30 games of the season, whatever we're at right now, 120 games of the season didn't even happen. We're tied with the Mariners. And I would say, Seth, too, we'll get to the Texans, too, in a second. We'll dig more into the Astros because the news was not great off the field for the Astros yesterday either. This is the first time in these last few years, I'll call it the dogfight years in the division. You know, we had those years where the Astros just ran away and hid from everybody in the division, and September was just sort of a warm-up for October. The last couple of years have not been that. It's been close in the division. The Astros ultimately win the division in both of those seasons in 23 and 24, but it's come down to the final week, and they've had to really, you know, walk a tightrope. This is the first time that I think maybe even in Houston, but certainly outside of Houston, that the Astros, I think right now, tied with the Mariners, are viewed as the underdog in this thing. I think most people, despite the history between these two teams in September, you know, the Mariners are healthy. They went and got Eugenio Suarez. They've got a healthy closer now who's really, really good, which the Astros cannot boast that. Their starting pitching has always been good. And the Astros are still very, very banged up. You know, you're missing Yordan Alvarez and now Josh Hader. They're both on the IL. That's really, really bad. Your closer, you two of your most valuable components to this team. And so, I'm still confident the Astros can get this done because they're the Astros. But empirically right now, they are the underdog in this situation. We are staring a wild card series on the road in the face right now.
I'm in a weird place with Josh Hader. I'm still in denial, Sean. Intellectually know and have read all the reports,
okay. And
I understand the history of discomfort and soreness with the usually if you're uncomfortable or you have discomfort as an Astro, they're about to amputate a leg or an arm.
Right.
And yet, and even the fact that they put him on the 15-day IL instead of the 10-day IL,
yeah.
That doesn't feel real to me.
No.
I don't. There's a really, really good chance they don't have Josh Hader by the end of the season. Is there not, given the Astros?
Yeah.
I just can't.
Shoulder discomfort.
I can't go there. I can't envision a world in which Josh Hader isn't available as, hey, you're getting Eric Getty back. He looks like he kind of might be okay, perhaps. Hey, Javier might kind of sort of be okay. We don't know yet.
Dude, it is ducked.
Yeah, the bullpen gives up 10 runs in 3 innings.
Yeah.
Everything will be fine.
It was 2-0 last night, and I got a call from our friend Wallace Marsh. And I said, Amy, I'm going to run in the other room and take this call. I got to talk to Wallace. And I go into the other room, and I'm talking to him for maybe 8 minutes. It was less than 10 minutes we spoke. I come back out, and it's 7-0. I'm like, what the hell? How long was I in there for? Like, how did that happen? It went from 2-0 to 7-0 like that. There's a lot of points of nervousness, of anxiety with this team right now. Seth, you got to get to grips with this Hader thing, man. We're in a world where Brian Abreu is going to be the closer for the foreseeable future.
We're also, you know what, I'm glad these glitches happened in a blowout loss instead of a close game, but Correa showed signs last night of, oh yeah, he's adjusting to playing third base as well. Some plays that you would expect him to make if it was an equivalent type of play at shortstop.
Yeah.
He just couldn't get his glove on the ball one time, just couldn't handle another. It gets chalked up for an error. And that's a reminder, okay, not everything is well. Everything's looking good in a lot of ways since the trade deadline acquisitions. Urias is a Red Sox killer. That's cool.
Yeah.
Be more relevant in a year where I was more scared of the Red Sox. But it's just they just got to tweak a few things. It's these damn Mariners that the Astros are tied with right now that are annoying.
10-1 in their last 11 games. They're on one right now. The Mariners are. So Astros tied for first. Going to be a fun September around here.
According to the stat nerd sites, the Astros still have a 90% chance of making the playoffs.
I'm not worried about the postseason. You know, you look at the teams that are duking it out for the wild card spots right now. I'm like, yeah, the Astros are just way better than these teams, and they're way ahead of these teams right now too. So they've got a decent cushion there. I am nervous about the division, and it's not shade at the Astros or anything. It's like this is just whatever we thought last year was injury wise, and whatever we thought the injury gods were going to do to pay us back positively for that. For whatever reason, they've chosen to pay us back negatively for it and give the Astros even more injuries this year to more significant players. So
the Astros are what we were afraid they would be.
Yes. Yeah, well
an
put.
An injury-riddled squad. Yep. I said this could never happen again. The Astros could never be beleaguered by injuries this year the way they were in 2024, and yet here we are.
Here we are. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday. Texans had a practice. We heard him bumping into the show. Brevin Jordan. No good news here. No C.J. Gardner-Johnson news from the heavens here. Brevin Jordan tore the same ACL that he tore a year ago. Here's D'Amico Ryans on what he saw at practice. They had a padded practice yesterday outside. Went for about 2 hours. Here's what he saw.
Today, what stood out to me was just a reminder of what a grind it is to play, you know, and practice in the environment that we have. This was a grind of a practice. You get a chance to see how mentally tough guys are in this heat. It wears on you. So I felt like our guys did a great job of straining and pushing through mentally, more so than the physical part, but mentally our guys pushed through really well. Proud of them for that.
Yeah, I'm proud of me too for the media grinding through these practices as well. I looked at somebody yesterday, Seth, and we were like an hour and a half in. And I'm like, okay, well, this little special teams thing, we're done after this, right? Oh, no. They still got 2 11-on-11 sessions left. And I'm like, oh, I'm exhausted.
It is. D'Amico loves testing them, I think, from a mental toughness standpoint. Yep. And in the heat, obviously, is always a mental toughness check. But that the first tough practice after the first preseason game, it's a weird psychological hurdle in terms of concentration. Because it feels like when you go into your first preseason game, you think, okay, now we're into the groove of things, and here we go. We can just kind of treat it like we're in the regular season. And then you're reminded, you come back and you're like, oh, it's these same old guys. Oh, and it's a more competitive training camp type of practice. Yeah. And it's almost like when you if you graduated from college and you're in your new job and all of a sudden you get a letter that you actually have to finish a class.
Yeah.
You were 3 credits short and you got to go back to night school to get your degree or something. That's what it feels like. We're in night school.
Yeah.
Except
yes.
that it's broad daylight and it's 987 degrees.
Yeah, it is as broad a daylight as you get.
You were our boots on the ground, so you're out there in your suede boots. And tell me about this John Metchie reception that I saw.
I was right there. It was literally right. I was standing there with Landry and Cody. We went over to the field that was on, and we were in that. We were at the back of that end zone, like literally 20. That catch happened. There were 2 catches that Metchie had, and they were both against Derek Stingley Jr. One, and they were obviously doing goal line stuff. So the line of scrimmage is about the 10, and CJ was throwing the ball each time. The first one, he shook Stingley at the line of scrimmage, and Stingley slipped. It was one of those. If it was an NBA crossover dribble, people would be like, "Oh, dang! Oh, he cooked you!"
And when DeAndre Hopkins broke the ankles of the
D'Angelo Hall,
D'Angelo Hall. I almost wanted to say D'Angelo Ross.
Yeah,
I'd imagine
that would have happened too.
People have broken his ankles in practice, but yes, it was so that was nice.
Okay. That was nice back of the end zone. The one that got a lot of people's attention though was one where Stingley had good coverage. CJ threw it intentionally, I think, behind the two of them. Mm-hmm. And Stingley kind of, his momentum kept him going in the direction the two of them were going. Metchie stopped, went back, went to the ground, and got both feet in. Metchie is fighting like hell to be on this football team. And I think if we didn't come in with the preconceived notion that John Metchie was not going to make this football team, mm-hmm. I think we would have him making this football team right now. I think he has objectively been one of the 6 best wide receivers in camp this season.
If he were a rookie and he came in and you'd see that, okay, he doesn't have the same twitch as a lot of these other guys, but he is really fighting and competing for the ball.
Yeah.
He's done some good things.
He's done some good things
in the game, obviously. Yep. That play, the second play that you were referencing, Might have been a little bit of a push off there or an OPI, but hey, no officials out there. I didn't see no yellow on the field.
No, I didn't either.
And I think more than anything, the coaches are looking at it and saying, okay, boy, he's really fighting.
He's fighting. And it was Stingley covering him too. You know, it wasn't Tre'Mon Smith or something like that.
Should we be worried about Stingley?
No, he had an awesome pick later on in practice off of CJ. Like a Stingley pick. It was really good.
I can sleep at night then.
Yep. Yeah, you're okay.
I'm on no sleep. I was up all night worrying about Stingley.
Stingley, yeah. All right, we're off and running on a Wednesday. Joint practice.
Wednesday, son.
Yeah, Wednesday. I got it.
Good
joint
job.
Joint practice. Thank you, buddy. Joint practice tomorrow with the Panthers. We'll talk more about that as we roll on with the show. All right, F the baseball gods. That's what I say. News for the Astros yesterday that was not good. And we got news on some other guys, though, that may be better than the news they got yesterday. A lot of news, basically, coming up, and we'll do that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
For me, I look at it this way. Tomorrow we come out, Hunter Brown on the mound. We win the game. That's three series wins in a row. That's what we wanted trying to do.
Man, Joe Espada could take any situation and turn it into an optimistic situation.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a boring situation.
No. Okay. He could. He was very monotone there, but his team just lost 14-1. I give him a pass on that.
To be clear, I like my baseball managers to be boring. Don't get too high with the highs. Don't get too low with the lows. Even keeled, my friend.
Yep. So Hunter Brown on the mound tonight, trying to win the series here. They lost 14-1, the Astros did, but guess what? Cliche alert. It only counts as one loss in the standings.
Oh, that's a good point,
Your run differential took a hit yesterday, but guess what doesn't matter? ultimately, run differential.
It's not like soccer or something where you have to factor in. We're not in pool play in a tournament or something where you're keeping the combined score versus the other team. Nope. Right. It's just the W's and the L's. That's all that matters.
It's a game. That's all it is. Now, okay, Joe Espada is optimistic here. I like that. But the baseball gods can all go to hell. Josh Hader, 15-day IL yesterday. And they are not sure, Seth, yet, of the actual severity of the injury. But I'm sure once they get the MRI and they're able to have their best people take a look at it, whatever it is they come back with will be unflinchingly accurate and spot on. And whatever the estimate is for how long he's going to be gone, they will be within 5 minutes either way of bringing him back at that estimated time.
If you want to hear the severity of my cope right now with Josh Hader, this in the course of about 7 seconds, it was an emotional roller coaster as I see Josh Hader, IL, 15-day IL. Right. And I'm like, okay, so this is on August 12th, 15-day IL. I'm like, oh, 15-day, why not 10-day?
Right.
But then I see retroactive. Ah. And I'm like, oh, retroactive. Yesterday. Oh, the August 11th.
August 11th, yeah. Well, hey, man, every day counts.
It was a three-act play, man, in one little blurb.
Every day counts, man. So, no Josh Hader. I'm assuming Brian Abreu now steps in as your closer, which is I'll say it's a suitable replacement for Hader. I don't have as much confidence in Abreu as I do Hader, but I think I have confidence in Abreu. It creates an eighth-inning situation. Like, there is a ripple effect with all this here.
It gave us an opportunity to bring Sean Dubin back up, and
that went well. So the Astros have a bullpen problem. Josh Hader, 15-day IL. If you missed that yesterday, now Seth, reaction to these other bits of injury news. You ready?
Okay.
Luis Garcia is going to start in Sugar Land tomorrow.
I feel good about that.
I do too. He looked really good in his last rehab outing. Four shutout innings with 7 strikeouts. His new little alligator arm pitching motion. He's getting guys out right now, so that's good.
Nobody's tried to mess with anybody, any other pitcher more than between the rules change a couple years ago where he couldn't do the Rocky Baby, and now him just changing his pitching motion a little bit. Of all people, Luis Garcia, he's the even-keeled player that can handle all of these
changes. You've seen the video of his new pitching motion. Yeah. It looks like a different person. It's so different.
I like to think of it as it's like a quarterback having a more compact and efficient motion.
That's kind of what it is. As long as it gets guys out, I don't care. I mean, he could throw left-handed for all I care. If it gets guys out, I don't give a crap.
Mm-hmm.
Lance McCullers, remember him? He is going to start on Friday in Sugar Land. Do you think?
Whatever,
Sean. Do you think?
Why do you lie to me this?
I'm just reading what
the
Astros sent to us yesterday. They blame the Astros. Does Lance factor in at all to you to what this thing looks like in September right now? If he's starting in Sugarland Friday, he's factoring in for them right now.
Technically, yes. Okay. But man, it's just been how much can you ask of a man? Okay, how many times am I going to try to dial up the excitement for Lance McCullers over and over and over again? And yet, just between the setbacks in rehab for the original injury, and then now these myriad issues that he's had since he's come back, I just don't know. So emotionally, I'm not factoring him in right now.
Well, here's the thing is that when he went down to the minor leagues we went on the IL with that blister a couple of weeks ago, I think there were a lot of people looking at that going, okay, well, this feels like an excuse to pull struggling Lance McCullers out of the mix and maybe just disappears for the rest of the year and comes back to fight another day. Now that the expiration date has hit on all these minor leaguers that were, let's face it, like if we were counting on Colton Gordon and Brandon Walter and Ryan Gusto, and I know Gusto was with the team to start the season, but those three guys were giving the Astros some very unexpectedly decent pitching along the way.
Yeah.
Gusto's gone. They traded him. Brandon Walter's on the IL, and Colton Gordon got sent down to Sugar Land, got called back up, and now is a reliever who gave up a bunch of runs last night. The fact of the matter is, Lance McCullers, when he's ready to go again, might still be one of your 6 best options in a starting rotation. Whereas there was some question about that before, you know?
He also, he gives you more options in piggyback scenarios. They've got a lot of guys here that are super comfortable and have played in those types of situations. Mm-hmm. We know that Lance will go to the grave never never even giving it a thought that he is a reliever of any sort. And but can he be an opener, perhaps? The problem with Lance as an opener is that when he struggles, it tends to be in the first inning, and then he reels it back in. And he's got six innings to make up for his struggling first or second inning. So I don't that he might the more maybe using him as an opener might be the worst possible thing you could do with him.
Is there a way he can be an opener where he doesn't actually have to open the game, Lance?
He has to pitch a simulated game in the bullpen.
Off to the side, yeah. That would
then come in knowing that he's going to go two innings max.
Right. We need three guys to go down to the bullpen and pretend to be hitters. They need to put on jerseys from the other team and pretend to be hitting against him. So psychologically, that's a good idea, Seth. I like the cut of your jib. Couple other bits of news. Yordan Alvarez... I don't even know why I read this stuff. Yordan Alvarez took live at-bats in Florida on Wednesday and is a step closer to hitting in games. Hitting in games. Whereas before I thought when Yordan was ready to go, they would just plunk him back down at cleanup with the Astros. He might get a rehab game or two now, I would imagine, just as long as he's been out for, you know?
I think it feels kind of like we've been saying with Christian Harris. Okay, whenever you have a mysterious injury that just doesn't seem to be healing properly on our normal timetable, you just hit the reset button and say, we're going back and we're going to build from the ground up. Like you're almost like you're a little league player.
Yeah.
And with baseball, it does work out that way because you hear, oh, he's hitting from a tee. Ooh, he's actually hitting from his coach.
Oh, yeah.
They'll bring the tee back out if he strikes out. He's been following very much a little league to high school to single A ball to major leagues type of progression.
If they start doing anything that 7-year-olds do, that's a good sign that they're moving. Playing catch, hitting off a tee. Running. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh, look at that. He's running around the bases.
Well, that brings me to Jake Meyers. He's been running.
He's doing it in the right direction.
He's been running in Florida. Yeah, he's getting
closer.
Did
you see the clip of Meyers running with the resistance cord?
No,
He looked pretty good.
Did he?
Thought he looked good running.
Okay.
Instead of the bands now, they have these. This is what happened to me once, Sean. I was doing some exercise with the resistance bands, and the trainer... So the trainer had these resistance bands, and I was, you know, like 15 yards out from him doing some kind of agility thing.
Yeah.
And the cord snapped and came up.
It whipped you?
And it was like I was a disobedient sailor being flogged on the deck of the HMS, the HMS idiocy. And it sucked.
Oh,
so
man.
Now they have like a box that has a cord in it that provides resistance as the cord goes out.
Okay.
And you know, you're not in danger or at risk of getting flogged.
Dude, did it leave a mark?
Yeah, it sucked. I almost beat the crap out of Joe Sheehan, the trainer. He's up with the Browns these days. Poor Joe. I've never seen fear in a man's eyes like that.
Oh,
I turned around and I blamed him.
I thought he
lost his grip on the handle or something. I took like three angry steps towards him and then caught myself.
To be terrified. Oh, my God. All right, text message. You can text in 713-572-4610. How concerned are you about the Astros? Our friend Middle Screen is awake. He says, I'm less concerned right now about the Astros. They're about to go on a stretch of below average teams like the Mariners have been playing. They got them on their roll. Yeah, Middle Screen went on to point out, the Mariners have been playing the White Sox and the Rays lately. That's all well and good. The Astros were playing the A's at home 2 weeks ago and got swept by them. So you got to take advantage of your opportunities, you know. They got swept at home and got outscored 32-7 by the A's. Wherever the Astros are right now, they deserve to be. You know, like there's
right. Yeah, there is no with the Astros.
Blame themselves.
And on any given day or in any given series, you just don't know exactly who's going to show up or what's it going to look like. For me right now, they're a much better team than a lot of teams in the league, but they're not good enough to say that they're playing down to the level of their opponent.
Right.
I think that is just there's too many variables right now that it's a very dicey and precarious situation.
Yep.
So the biggest thing that I'm hanging my hat on is that the guys you got at the trade deadline have done some really good things for you.
Yes.
Gray has been awesome at the plate, and B, these returning pitchers. If two of the three returning pitchers round into the best version of themselves, you're way ahead of where you were before the trade deadline.
Yeah.
So I'm still clinging on to these returning pitchers as the trade deadline acquisitions.
I saw a text message. I saw a kid wearing a Texan C.J. Stroud jersey while I was walking around in the Czech Republic this morning. I choose to believe that he was a local and that the Texans are worldwide, that he was a local to Czechoslovakia and that the Texans are worldwide right now. That's a good idea. I choose to believe that too.
He should have tried to talk to the kid.
Maybe he did. I don't know. Texter, if you're still listening, let us know if you had a conversation with the young lad.
Yeah, or go track that kid down.
Right.
You know? Right. Whichever playground you saw him at yesterday, go sit at that playground by yourself as an adult male and watch the playground for a little while. Yeah.
Wait around and then unprompted go up and talk to an 8-year-old on the playground.
Yes, that goes really well. I noticed what you were wearing yesterday.
Right.
I'd like to ask you about
that.
It.
Too. Yeah, yeah. Hey, by the way, so I went in, I'm talking to ask Jesse Watt something, one of our DJs on the FM side this morning, and I go in there and she goes, "You were in the Chronicle this morning." And I said, "What?" And she said, "No, you were in the Chronicle." There was an article in the Chronicle. I'll go find it during the break. We can read it on the air. There was an article about how Clint and Ron were talking about C.J. Stroud's emotions with the Brevin Jordan injury. And I found my way into the article because I called it. The fact that I'm tied to this thing right now, that if you Google my name, I'm coming up with all this smoke that's coming at Clint and Ron. I'm collateral damage. You know, I was not in the Chronicle, Jesse. I was just in there as the messenger to them that C.J. Stroud appeared to be emotional after. And by the way, not alone. The whole team appeared to be emotional. The difference was C.J. kind of took a walk off to the side by himself to process the thing a little bit. And I hung up the phone with them. And next thing I know, I get home and my Twitter timeline is in shambles. And now I'm in the Chronicle over this whole thing.
Clint tweeted out yesterday a long explanation in reply to Sideline Sarah, who had, you know, kind of put a transcript of what those guys were saying on their show and everything. And one of the things Clint said, he said some nice things about you and I in there, said that we're tremendous teammates. But he did also point on the fourth of his six bullet points, he said, "Most media will avoid it, soft shoe it, move past it, and that's cool. On the drive, we're going to tackle the uncomfortable conversations, and with my background, we're absolutely going to hit all things QB. You decide which approach entertains you." Are we guilty of soft shoeing the CJ showing emotion topic? I don't think he was leveling that right at us. I think we've addressed it. I was more on the Clint Sterner side of things last year after the Tank Dell injury.
Yeah.
I've honestly put way more time thinking about the emotional response of C.J. Stroud over the course of the last 6 months than I thought I would have.
Yep.
And I've come to the balance of it. I don't judge anybody's emotional response in the moment to when there's anything devastating that happens. But what's key and critical for any athlete or any manager, anybody who leads people, is the refractory period. How quickly can you got to get back in and compartmentalize and get back to task.
Yep.
So in a practice situation, I think CJ, you know, obviously going off and to do a prayer in the end zone or wherever he was when he was doing the prayer, it's not the same type of situation as the Tank Dell injury. So I think it's really, really good that CJ shows empathy for his teammates. And then as it is with that, because I do the same thing with coaches who get angry. Everybody thinks it's awesome when a coach gets angry on the sideline. They think like, that's the way you lead. A lot of those dudes have zero control of their emotions and they don't get back. They don't get their heads back in the game quickly enough. And that's not any different in my mind than not being able to, like, whether you're crying, screaming, laughing, whatever it might be.
You have to get back
to the ability to get back to game mode.
Yep.
And a lot of coaches have very poor mental discipline when it comes to that.
Well put. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We got headlines. We've got headlines with the Texans. We'll circle back to the Astros last night and a whole lot more. Headlines coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
All right, let's start with headlines. We'll start with the Texans because the Astros are not worth starting tonight today with headlines based on how last night went. We'll get to them and we'll get to you in a second, Espada. But let's start with the Texans. They had a very spirited padded practice yesterday. I would say the offense was a little sloppier than what we saw as the week in West Virginia rolled on, Seth. It certainly didn't look as crisp as the opening drive against the Vikings. And it was hot out there, too. The news coming out of the Texans yesterday was that Brevin Jordan, it is confirmed, torn ACL, same ACL he tore last season, and that he rehabbed like crazy to come back from. Here was D'Amico Ryan sharing that news with the media.
And for us today, man, it's tough putting Brevin on IR. We know he went down with a devastating injury. It's really rough for a guy who just bounced back from a major injury. So it's tough on Brevin right now, tough on our entire team. But, you know, that happens. That's the game that we play. It happens. Injuries happen. We have to continue to press forward while also being here to support Brev in any way that he needs us.
Okay, so Brevin Jordan, the future for Brevin Jordan is probably a topic that is very much down the road. Like, he just tore this thing 2 days ago. I feel horrible for him, Seth. Every interview I saw with Brevin Jordan, and clips of these interviews were popping up yesterday, like in retrospect on social media. Like, every interview he gave, he talked about just how hard the rehab was and how ferociously he was attacking it. He was the guy doing the doing the breakdown huddle before the game against the Vikings. He was the guy pumping everybody up. He was having a good camp. He was having a good camp up to the very play before he tore his knee. He had a 30-yard catch downfield.
I think the thing with Brevin Jordan, too, so on the injury side of it, you feel really, really bad for the guy. He seemed to just, he was everything that you want in a professional athlete. He was talking about how much he loves just being out there, practicing, just playing every single day, all of that. I think that if this helps anybody feel any better, I do feel like there was a pent-up enthusiasm for Brevin Jordan and expectations of what he might become if Nick Caley's actually a good offensive coordinator. You got to remember that he's never had more than 20 receptions in a season, and that was his rookie year. So in terms of production that you're losing on the field, it's not the same as if you were losing one of the other tight ends or even Dalton Schultz. I know people aren't high on Dalton Schultz, and he has a lot to prove after his performance last year. Yeah. So I'm not, from a strictly football side of things, I don't look at this as something that's a death blow to the Texans' chances or anything. But it is, he's the guy that could win a game for you, like when he has a play like he did in the Cleveland game or whatever. He has that X factor ability that's intriguing all the time.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is, he's never really been healthy his entire career. If you go look at his Pro Football Reference page, this would have been his fifth season. He's missed most of, a majority of the first four seasons of his career. I think he had one season where he played 14 games, and other than that, it's all single digit games.
Yeah. He's played 36 games in four seasons.
That's not nine games a season. So he's, health has been an issue for him, I'm not trying to be callous about this or anything, in pointing out how injury prone he's been. This one just hits different because it's the exact same knee. He's in year five. There is probably part of Brevin Jordan like, I got to start proving something here. I'm in a contract year. I got to start proving myself.
I feel in the various ways that sometimes Texans fans or any sports teams fans might feel snake bitten. Yeah. The Texans have had an odd go of it at tight end. With some of the guys going all the way back to Benny Joppru, like Benny Joppru was kind of like Brevin Jordan, except Benny Hart. I don't think he ever hit the field in the regular season, but he looked awesome in training camp. They go to CJ Fedorowicz was looking promising, but then started getting concussions every time he stepped on the field. Brevin Jordan it just feels a little bit like, oh man, he was always right there. Right on the brink, and this is going to be a tough one for him to come back from.
They were shuffling a lot around yesterday practice on the offensive line. There were times where it looked like Blake Fisher had been surpassed by Connor McDermott on the depth chart. Connor McDermott, who they signed yesterday, and then there were other times where Titus Howard was kind of just sitting out practice and Fisher's with the ones out there.
With the ones, yeah. That's where I look over the course of multiple weeks. Yes, you get a lot of hints about the depth chart from where guys are lining up in practice. And it's kind of like following the stock market, though. On any given day, you got to be careful how much you read into it. Because sometimes, honestly, and I'm not saying this to try to be crass or anything, sometimes somebody's just got to go make a number two. A guy's got to get his ankles respatted or something. So when things are reported from training camp in the first series, oh, look at this. Blake Fisher's not even out there with the twos. You got to be careful about reading into one specific series.
Yep.
But it hasn't been a great. It has not been a great training camp for Blake Fisher.
Correct. Yeah. There's a reason why we're tracking his participation more than anybody else's right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Astros lose last night in grand style to the Red Sox, 14-1. The final score. This is a game where Chaz McCormick came in and closed things out in the ninth inning as a pitcher. It was that bad. Spencer Arrighetti, not terrible. Five innings and change, a couple of runs, had issues with control. He walked five and struck out one. It was almost the opposite of his first start, where a bunch of soft contact led to infield hits, but he only had one walk and he struck out six guys. This was the other way around, where he was just kind of scattershot. Here was Joe Espada on Arrighetti's stuff last night.
He pitched out of trouble, which was encouraging to see. For me, just more the command, the high pitch counts because of the walks. But besides that, his stuff is pretty good. His breaking ball was much better today. I thought his fastball played really good today. I just got to pitch ahead in the count more and get some quicker outs.
I'm trying to figure out what an indication it is of the team right now that I feel like you almost said, Eric Gedde wasn't terrible, as you almost said it, almost as a like as a headline. Not terrible.
Not terrible.
Yeah, exclamation point. Picture of a soldier kissing a woman in the streets after World War II. Yeah. Not terrible.
Not terrible. Woo-hoo.
Not. There's a scene in Arrested Development, the TV show, yeah, where Sean, it's a father and a son, and they have a struggling company, and they look on the TV, and they see the crazy guy, the financial guy.
Kramer? Jim Cramer?
Yeah, Kramer.
Yeah,
Jim Cramer. And he says, I'm upgrading Bluth Company 2. Don't buy. And the son, Michael Cera, looks at the father and says, it's really happening, isn't it?
That's Eric Gedde.
Yeah. Oh, look at this.
That's
hilarious. So he wasn't terrible. There you go.
Yeah. He's don't buy right now. What if you Spencer Eric Gedde were a stock, what would he be? Don't buy.
Yeah, is better from dump, yes.
Let me ask you this about Eric Gedde. And by the way, Josh Hader to the 15-day IL. That's the other headline. I want to make sure we get that in. He's had two starts now. Empirically, on the box score, last night's start was better. He went more innings and gave up fewer runs. Just having watched both starts, forget about the box score, if you just watched him pitch and watched the level of contact, which start makes you feel better about Spencer Eric Gedde? His first one, where he was knocked out after 3 2/3, but it was a bunch of soft contact, or yesterday, which was more innings and fewer runs, but he was all over the map.
Obviously the first one you felt better, and Eric Gedde himself called it, felt like one step forward, one step back.
Yeah.
He just really struggled with his command. I'm not worried about it. I think that's lots of pitchers struggle with command, especially when they're coming back.
Yeah.
So it's been a mixed bag of results with some bad luck in that first outing. That steady as she goes, Sean. I'm not panicking here. Don't buy.
And the answer, you're right, it is an obvious answer, because you said obviously when you answered it. It's just funny. That's like the baseball is that way. Like the outing that he gave up six runs in fewer innings is clearly more encouraging than the near quality start in the box score that he had last night. Like, I don't know what to think of Spencer Eric Gedde right now.
It was like Graham Mertz's third interception.
Don't buy. You're right.
Graham Mertz's third interception. Yeah. You're like, hey, it was a tipped ball.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Okay,
that's progress.
Okay. Strong don't buy on Graham Mertz. Can I just tell you this? The threes are getting almost no run at practice right now. It's all the ones and the twos, which is what D'Amico foreshadowed. They put Graham Mertz in for one snap. He threw a pick six to Jamal Hill. Like, literally his last pass in the game on Saturday was a pick, and he gets in like, all right, Mertz, we'll give you one snap. Here you go. Pick six. Jamal Hill the other way.
I know, and people love getting bent over about a shape about sixth and seventh rounders, where I look at those guys just like they're no different than rookie free agents in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I just buckle up, everybody. I think Caserio is going to draft a quarterback on average about every other year for as long as he's the GM.
Yeah.
I think that's what they did in New England, and I think that's one thing that he took from New England that he's done a lot of things differently than New England, but I think just drafting a person, taking a flyer on the most valuable position in all of sports every couple of years is what they're going to continue to do.
And it'll probably be on day three. I don't think they're using a second-round pick on a quarterback. Yeah.
Yeah, guess what? Out of all of them, only one will be anything like a Jimmy Garoppolo or somebody.
Yeah.
They did that with multiple different quarterbacks, and it didn't work out for anybody except Jimmy Garoppolo,
who was a second round pick who was drafted to take over for Tom Brady someday. He's going to be taking sixth and seventh round flyers on guys. All right, speaking of our quarterback, we finally saw him on the NFL Top 100. We'll get to that in the 7 o'clock hour. A breakdown on Ariante Ursary. How good is the Texans' second round pick looking so far in the eyes of one particular national expert? Really, really good. I've got the Chronicle article open that mentions me with the drive. We'll do a dramatic reading of that as well in the 7 o'clock hour. Stay there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.